Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Bro, something I've always appreciated about you is how you receive feedback. Have you always been that way?
I have gotten better at it.
Recently?
Or is this we started the company 3.5 years ago, and I've gotten better at receiving feedback in that time. And I will tell you that it is not natural. Receiving feedback well is not there. That ain't natural. Like, that's right. It's not natural, but it is a tremendous gift to yourself if you can learn to receive feedback, which we're going to talk about today.
And with our dynamic,
yeah.
Does it still trigger all the same stuff inside of you when we have conversations and we push back? You just handle it differently?
Yeah. I'm totally triggered. It's like, I'm triggered. I get triggered. Okay.
All right.
The difference is the acknowledgement of the feeling, and then you set it aside. Like I've heard, champions, and they say, do you get nervous? I'm like, yeah, I get nervous. And then I go, okay, now I'm going to go do my work. So I still have, I would say it's shorter. Mm-hmm. It's briefer. It's not as harsh, but there's still something in me that I go, yeah, I don't like that. And then I go, okay, well, but is it true? And you ask other questions around it instead of just writing your emotion, which is rarely a helpful thing to do. What about you? Are you better at feedback than you used to be? I'm thinking of when you played college basketball.
Oh gosh. I mean, it's dramatic. It's a 180 in my world. And I love this book we're going to talk about. The book's called Thanks for the Feedback. And it's in my top 10. And I think it's a really deep message. But for me personally, in my story of everything is a personal attack. Any feedback is only meant to hurt you, not to help you. Whether it was the source that was giving it, I didn't trust. Whether it was the way they said it,
yeah.
And so when I read this book, it didn't necessarily make me great at it overnight, but it gave me the framework of saying, okay, this isn't just my problem. It kind of normalized like this is hard for everybody, and helped me figure out like, oh, here's the point where I usually go off the rails.
I was going to say, mine are really early.
And then for me, I think one benefit, if you just go through life stuff, whether it's parenting, relationship things, like the more life experience you have, sometimes that just calms you and humbles you enough to say, I'm willing to learn whenever possible.
Yeah. That's a really mature way of saying it. There's a lot of people who just get worse and they get worse and they get worse. I mean, I don't disagree with you that can mature into that, but there's also people, and this book talks about what is feedback? How does it work? How do we typically react? What are techniques to process it? But I also think that there's a certain segment of people, and we'll talk about it, and generally it's not the people who are listening to the show, but there is a segment that is very unhealthy, and any feedback that does not confirm their belief, that does not reaffirm who they are and how they view the world, is wrong, is negative. There's a certain mindset of people, and many of them run for office, but it's like, it is that I cannot be wrong. There's no way that person could be wrong. And the same sense, or the same sentence, well, that person could never be right by what they say. And I love it.
Or
it's
now my moral obligation to change their mind, silence them. I think it's one thing to react in a big way, it's another to go on the attack. And so the good news is that our audience is not that. So while those extremes exist, we're going to hang out, and I think the big middle reality that most of us live in. But for me, the premise of this book, if you haven't read it, is growing up, I feel like I was taught that if I was getting feedback or coaching, the way that was delivered was the most important thing. Meaning, if they didn't say it clearly, kindly, you almost had permission to not receive it. and give them feedback like, man, if you just would have said that nicer, or if you would ask me more questions, that typically we get hung up on the deliverer of the information. Whereas what's great about this book is it says that doesn't matter. It does, but it doesn't. That you need to become really good at receiving it regardless of the form it comes in. Because if it can make you better and there's some truth in that, your inability to sit in the discomfort of the person that's delivering or the way they're delivering it is at the end of the day only hurting you.
So there's you touched on two of the three actually from the book, which are these triggers that block feedback.
Yeah.
And so I think that for those listening or watching, the next time you feel any sort of anger towards another person because they said something to you, that could be a police officer, it could be your spouse, it could be a kid, it could be a stranger, whoever. But you touched on one, which is the relationship trigger, like, who are you to tell me that, right? You can't tell me that. Another is identity trigger, like, I feel threatened, like my identity is threatened by what you just said and how I view myself. And then the other is just a truth, like, I'm not receiving that because there's no way that that could be true. And those are all really innate human reactions instead of responses of why we don't react or take feedback the way we want to. Tell me about the different kinds of feedback, because there's evaluation, there's coaching, there's appreciation. Tell me how, which one of those have you always been good at or not good at, and how have you improved in those?
I started out bad at all of them. just because, I mean, it was, in my world growing up, there was so much change. We moved a lot. I mean, it was just constant.
Yeah.
27 houses, bunch of different schools, and until my life kind of settled in middle school and high school, that I just didn't trust stuff. Like, if somebody was coming to my world, they were probably there for themselves. They weren't going to stay. Like, it was all I knew. And I hadn't had a chance yet to gain awareness to, like, wait, why am I this way? I was asking those questions. I was just living my life.
You weren't open to really any feedback from anybody.
I mean, it came my way because it had to. If I was on a sports team or in school, like, it was happening. I didn't trust it. I wasn't receiving it. Oftentimes, it triggered me in a negative way. For me, it was probably mainly the relationship trigger of I don't trust you. The feedback you're giving is not for my benefit. It's you're trying to get something for me. Like, this was just kind of a story in my head.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that story changed as much, but when I got to college, I realized this isn't helping me. So even though I still have the same core beliefs, I at least have to, based off of trial and error, have to try something different, meaning I need to not respond negatively to a coach when they tell me to do something differently.
Yeah.
Like, step one for me is being able to just sit there and let it happen without trying to fight back.
Right.
Which, as I talk about, sounds extreme, but, like, I think a lot of us have some internal reaction. Mine just flowed out in not a good way pretty quickly.
Mine
most of the time.
Somehow got to the end of my arms with my hands and it started moving really bad. That's called punching people.
Yeah.
Well, you and I, in preparation for today, you'd sort of, I don't know if it's off the cuff or whatever, but it was really well done. You identified sort of the scale of how people react to feedback. And the first one was really aggressive avoidance, which is what I think you're talking about, which is the minute, and I'm, you know, I am frankly probably most guilty of this with my own wife, of like the aggressive avoidance, like, this feedback is not going to be good. And so I'm just like, already ready to be like, no, that's not true.
Shut it down.
Well, she's like, that's a nice shirt. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, like, wait a minute, you know?
You're proud.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's this default to, oh, this is going to be criticism, right? Or there's other people, like, other family members, I'll say, of not my own immediate, but like parents, siblings, of like, I'm just I'm ready to be defensive.
Hmm.
So aggressive avoidance is, that's a very emotional, reactionary, defensive, and it doesn't, it's not even a response. It's just like, if I throw something at you, you're going to throw your hands up. Mm. It's more of a reaction.
Yeah.
And that can keep you really stuck. But then you talked about another one, which is sort of like people who just don't get much feedback. They're just sort of like, yeah, I'm good. And I'm going to kind of stay the same way that I've always been. And I don't really need feedback because I'm okay. That's a pretty dangerous place to be in as well.
I think you can have decent relationships in that place, because it's less, you know, the other side where I was when I was younger and a young professional, I was very it was somewhat competitive. People didn't want to be around you. It was effort to be your friend at that point. But in this ignorant bliss, you and I've progressed through these. It was, I think I'm fine now. I'm good enough. I got to a place of comfort to some degree.
Yeah.
That I couldn't fully understand the additional benefit of getting better at this.
Yeah.
I was really celebrating the win of going from where I was to at least to that point, which was progress.
Yeah.
But I find a lot of advisors are hanging in this spot that they think they receive feedback well, but they really don't. They're not really looking to grow. They're holding on to average. And so I think a lot of people fall into this category.
Yeah.
Which is not an extreme in the negative sense, but it still, it holds you back a lot.
Yeah. So again, you're not aggressively pushing against it, but you're also then not pursuing it.
That's right.
And oftentimes you get the same result. So this is where the scale continues. You'll see it at the healthiest part of the scale is very, very different than sort of, you know, I'm thinking of the Inside Out 2 movie, which where that the emotion is, where it just sort of sit, it's like indifference. Right.
That's been like the talk of our office. So we all have kids.
We could all go as a team.
Leave our kids at home and go first.
That's right. I'm going to go by myself later just for some. It's cheaper than counseling.
That's right.
Like I said, maybe 10 times from the counseling appointment. Only funny because it's true.
That's right.
All right. The next one is sort of like a minimal openness. Like, okay, I'm going to receive some. And I think that's what you're touching on is like, hey, I'll get some, but then you don't really change. You don't really take it to heart. Let's go to like the healthiest one.
Can I say something about the minimal openness? I feel this a lot when I go to like conferences, and at times I'll go and I'll speak or do a breakout session. And there's always some advisors there that they're willing to hang in the conversation, but they're posturing with unjustified confidence in a way. Yeah. And it's an interesting group. And we run into this group when we coach too, where it's like some reason they think they've arrived when they're way far from it. So they're willing to have the conversation. They're willing to meet at stuff, but somehow they're, I don't know if it's quite, it's not pride. It's fake it till you make it. There's something there. And I was there as a young advisor when it was like my mid 20s. I was like, hey, I've done some stuff, but I'm also still pretty intimidated by other people and want to be perceived in a certain way. And that's hard for me, especially for us as we coach advisors, because it's like, you always have an answer on why you're doing it that way. You're paying us to get to coach you, but for some reason you're not like, hey, if there's a better way, I'm fully open to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's this weird area in there to where I think as if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, I'm totally open to feedback, but you feel like there's a chance that you're overconfident for some reason when you don't have the business you want to have, or it's, there's really no facts around you to support your level of confidence.
Yeah.
I think that's where we then try to move to the final stage, which some of the most impressive business owners and advisors I meet
100%
are the quietest at the table. And they're like, oh, that's a great idea. I love that. Like they get to this last one, which is just this ongoing pursuit of information and perspective.
Yeah.
And in this place, you feel relaxed, humble.
Yeah.
Can receive anything and be like, oh, that's a good point. I never thought about that myself that way. Like you're actually asking people to tell you how they experience you.
Yeah.
Which can be one of the most uncomfortable conversations you have. But if we can all pursue that, I think that's the ultimate goal.
I think of those who avoid going to the doctor. And then there's this friend of mine that went to this, like, they don't just run a physical, that it's like 2 days of tests on you. And they come back with everything about you that you could want or, you know, ever want to know about your cancer risk and your blood work and your nutrient levels and eyes, and I mean just your bone density, and it's like every test they could. So there's this sort of like, oh, I'm fine, I don't need to go to the doctor, to all the way to like, no, I'm gonna go pursue and I'm gonna hope they find something.
Yeah,
that's the difference between I'm good, and no, I want you to find stuff. Why? Because I want you to find stuff. I want you to find what is wrong with me. That is a very, very different posture. And I would say that for this to happen in a much easier way is I am a way more open, as an example, as we kind of circle back to the sort of we talked about me receiving feedback from you, is I am way more open to receiving feedback if I know that at your core, you have my best interests and you're not trying to win, right? You're just saying, I we don't need to argue about it. We can still discuss it. You're allowed to disagree with me. And regardless of how you receive this, I still think you're doing a good job, but, and then hard truth.
Yeah.
Right. Like, then I go, okay, like I'll receive that. And I also think that there has to be space and feedback to say, I receive that. I disagree with it, but I receive that, versus like every time someone gives you feedback, they, what they're really saying is, if you don't agree with me, then, you know, we have problems.
Yeah. I think giving yourself the permission to be like, oh, great, thanks, but I don't have to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And even, and this is in work I've done as a kind of a people pleaser in a past leader that was like, no, I want to lead for people to be happy and like me versus like lead to results and best outcomes for everybody, is that somebody can share information with you about something they don't like about you. You can receive it and be like, huh, but I'm not going to prioritize changing that, and sit in the tension of like, that's just the way it is.
Hmm.
Like that your goal in life, like awareness does not have to lead to action every single time.
Yeah.
We want to adjust and adapt for people around us. But like if somebody says there's something about you fundamentally that bothers me.
Yeah.
And you're like, that feels more of like a core thing. Like you don't like the way I laugh. Like, oh, okay.
Did it tell you that? We're talking about that today.
I don't know if I'm
just kidding. No, you don't. But it is a good reminder that one of the reasons that people are resistant to feedback is they feel like, gosh, I have to please everybody. No. But I do think that there's something about, we'll receive that, we'll consider it. Good to know. I mean, I think about this as an umpire a lot on weekends, and someone will give me a feedback. A coach will say, hey, can I ask you about that? And I go, yeah. And I always ask this when they approach me. I go, what's your question, coach? Because like, and they're going to ask me a question. And I go, well, this is what I saw. Okay, great. Like, and then you move on.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't mean like, oh, what do you want me to do next?
That's right.
Right? That's not feedback. Feedback is not like, oh, just tell me what to do and I'll change it. Because you can't live that way.
Yeah.
But I would say that the core of thanks for the feedback is that you're open to it. That if you want to become a different version of yourself, which I think we all do, then feedback has to be a part of that. You cannot become a different version of yourself unless you get different inputs. Mm-hmm. And then you consider, you know, am I going to take that input and do something with it? Or am I going to reject it and move on to another option?
Yeah.
But no person who's listening to the show wants to be the same person a year from now. You want to be a different person in a positive way. And I just don't know how that happens unless you read a book that tells you something, you go to a conference, you get coaching, you know, you put yourself in a situation where someone's going to say, hey, I want to tell you something that I see.
Yeah.
And they might be right. And you might need to receive that, or they might be wrong. And you might go, I appreciate that feedback. I'm going to go and do the same thing I was doing before. Right.
Yeah. One thing I've enjoyed being around a lot of advisors and entrepreneurs is you start seeing like what things are just true. And one of the things that is true of all the people that I would say, man, someday I want to lead like them. I want to have an efficient business like them. Is that they're constantly getting inputs.
Yeah.
It's maybe team members they've raised up that are overseeing something. So, you know, they can kind of be more of that visionary role. But if we ask advisors, and we do this a lot, I would say 95% say they want to be something different in the future.
Yeah.
Yet maybe only 30% of advisors have actions that match that.
Yeah.
And we get advisors that come to coaching and they get excited and they get this little jolt and they tweak a couple things and they go back to doing the same thing.
I was
thing.
Just going
to
say that there's also this level of feedback of like, I'll change that. Oh, yep, I need to do that. And I'll stop doing that. But then when it gets kind of that next layer, they're like,
I did it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I mean, it is. We've seen people hit the eject button and they're just like, I'm out. Why? And I think it's because it like we got beyond the easy stuff to some like harder stuff.
Or they just were just satisfied enough that they made an effort. And they can rest again.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, we're not shaming any people that choose that. But what I know, and we can share just because of the exposure we get to so many advisors and business owners, is that but the best of us
keep going.
Not even them just making the most money. It's just they're the most aware. They have the life balance we all want. All of those things is for them, feedback is constant.
Yeah.
They're never graduating from it.
Yeah.
And the most successful advisors in the country I've been around, I mean, there's this one guy I met at a conference. I don't know if he was out of Atlanta, had 4 coaches. For different parts of his life.
Yeah.
Like he was just wanted to be so aware and challenged to not revert to an old behavior or sit in a blind spot for too long.
Yeah.
And so that I don't think any of us can argue that the most aware of us that are getting the most constant feedback. And so for me, that's constant coaching, that's community, that's counseling, that's friend stuff that I think as you listen to this, one practical exercise is go to somebody you know and trust that's known you for a while and ask, how do you experience me? And just
good
give
and
them
bad.
Full
permission. Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And the other version is what in your life right now outside of your efforts? If it's like, I read a lot. Okay. Well, kind of. That gives you little spurts of awareness, but it's still going through your own filter.
Yeah.
What in your life are you involved in? A study group? Is it a coaching community that you are saying, I need constant feedback for the rest of my life because it's going to make me better? If you can buy into that and make it a priority, you're going to go way farther than you ever have. It'll be uncomfortable, but it is a truth that everybody that has reached a certain level that we all say, man, that'd be great to get there someday, all have in common. And so why are any of us that have not reached that point not fully embracing it?
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. I want to invite you to tune into episode 167 that we'll be releasing in February of 2025. It specifically interviews three different advisors about their experience adding planning or improving their planning business based on the things that we teach at our live event and in our coaching program. And the reason I think that you're going to really enjoy it is because it's advisors with different amounts of experience implementing planning in different ways, who all paid their own money, their own investment to come and to get trained or coached by us. And I think you'll be encouraged to hear about how they implemented what they learned. And I hope, and Sten and I, we both hope that you'll consider joining us at our in-person event in April of 2025, because that really is where we find advisors who take the time to step out of their day-to-day life, who then go home and implement what we teach, that they find the most success. And that's what we want for you, to become an elite advisor. And so please check out that episode 167. And as always, thanks for listening.